This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin! My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Colorado's cooler in the summer.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, enlightening your musical life. Right here from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where you can come record no matter if you're a pro or if you're an amateur, just someone doing it for fun. We record all kinds of bands all the time. Call me. Let me know what you want to work on. We'll set it all up. 817-733-5256. The sun is out. A warm breeze is blowing here across our fair street here in the city. Fort Worth is abloom with summer. The cats out front are meowing, laying on the cars. And who pulls up in his old Jeep Cherokee and scatters those felines, sends them scurrying off as he curses and growls? It's Kurt South is showing up here at the studio. What's going on, South?
I'm not a friend of the feline.
Not a friend of the cat?
For the record, no. You're a cat owner, aren't you?
We got a cat.
God, you let a cat around your house.
Oh, man. What's wrong with the cat? The cat just lays around.
It's like owning a raccoon or a possum or something.
Yeah, but that's kind of it. They just lay around, low maintenance. You know, they go to the bathroom in the box. They eat. If you forget to feed them, they'll go out and kill their own game. They'll drag a bird or a squirrel up onto the porch. Self-reliance, South. I thought you'd appreciate that kind of thing. Self-resiliency. No?
Not from a cat. I look for that quality in humans, not in my pets.
Not in your pets?
No.
Well, man, we are here to account. This first segment here, this is tough. I got to get this off my chest. This was I've been through an ordeal here, folks. I want everybody to lean close to their computer screen or wherever you might be listening to this, the radio in your car, and listen very carefully because we had an incident. We had an incident last, when was it? A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I go down to knock off the solo gig. Had a great show down there at old Pivotos' place there on Lake Bryan. Solo acoustic thing out Lake Bryan on the lake, you know. So I roll down there. Of course, you can't play the sound ordinance or whatever it is.
It's a Friday night.
You can't play after like 8, 9, 10 o'clock or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm always done early. I just go, man, I'm just going to drive it home. And I don't need to take the big van with all the band's gear in it. So I just jump in my trusty old Jeep Cherokee. I just throw a guitar in the back. So I'm going out here and knock this gig out, see some folks. Had a great time, don't get me wrong. Great time. And I always debate, because I don't like driving Highway 6 at night.
It's awful. One of the worst roads in the state for night driving.
Oh, it's got a terrible reputation. It's just not very well lit. It's two lanes in a lot of places.
At one time, the state of Texas claimed that it was the most dangerous highway.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been scores of accidents out there. So I'm always real wary of it at night. Now, driving
especially
down there.
Especially when you've been drinking.
Yes.
Which,
well, of course, no, I was not drinking. I hardly even drink at the shows, really, anymore. So I used to have Jordan Powell, my old road manager, kind of drive me down. But now that I'm out there by myself sometimes doing these solo gigs, no gig, just some coffee, a little water, you know, that kind of stuff. So I get out of the show here. And I'm driving back. Who calls me but old Kurt South? And I'm up there. Now, if it's like during the day going down, I'll go down to Waco, Highway 6 all the way to College Station. But usually if it's night going back, I'll just kind of hop over to 45, take the highway back, you know, the interstate.
See, I've never gone that way coming back from College Station.
Not really.
Cut over to Madisonville.
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah. You know, it's a little out of the way. Or Houston, or we'll do Cypress. I just,
yeah.
You know, Cypress will tell you North Houston. You okay? Hey, go back. It's shorter to go through Waco through Highway
right,
6.
Probably just go 290.
Yeah, I'll just take 290 back to 45. It's a little bit longer, but it's a little easier to drive at night. Well, it's not that late. I mean, it's dark, but I figure, man, it's shorter just to go back. So I get in the old trusty Jeep. Phil gets in there, signs scores of autographs, trying to get to my car down there. And I just stuff all that cash in my pocket. You know, I'm loaded down with money, with, you know, some guitars. Getting that Jeep, I'm going to venture on back to Fort Worth. It's probably 9 o'clock maybe. And the Jeep's just cruising along. You go through those towns without even thinking about it. You go through, what is it, like Calvert? You go through Hearn.
First one you get through, you Hearn, Calvert, and then Marlin.
You get up to Marlin.
Riesel, then you finally get to Waco.
Well, I'm driving down here. I'm driving towards Waco. You know, I've got the radio on. I'm just, it's dark, man. No moon, nothing. I'm just driving along. You're just not paying much attention. I go through that last little town with the antiques, I guess Hearn or Calvert.
It's Calvert. With all the antiques.
I just go through there. You know, you feel like you're paying attention. You know that road like the back of your hand. I do. So I'm just driving along. All of a sudden, man, I notice just the lights in the dash are just starting to dim, just getting dimmer, and the car starts missing a little bit, that dreadful little, oof, oof. You know, just it's just powering down. And I know I've got a battery. The battery volts have fallen off. Some of the gauges quit working. Sure sign your battery is just dead. Your alternator's dead, the whole thing. So, man, I'm just chugging along. I'm looking around. Oh, my gosh. I don't see a gas station, nothing. And so I pull over to the side of the road. Now, I'm just sitting there on the shoulder. Of course, there's just 18-wheelers missed me by, like, 8 inches. Just, so I'm like, man, look, I need to just get...
Well, there is no shoulder.
There's no shoulder,
road,
not really.
You're just
dark, two lanes. I'm just like, I need to get out of the car. So I just get out of the car with my phone, which I'm horrified to look down. It's got, like, two little bars on it. Battery-wise, you know, I'm like, dude, I'm down on my phone. You know, I go down the embankment there. I can't even see my hand in front of my face. It's so dark. I can't believe how dark it is. I'm looking for a sign, like a mile marker, but I learned later there's no mile markers except on like an interstate for most roads in Texas. Oh, and man, I'm broken down. I call AAA. I got my AAA membership. I'm like, they're like, where are you, sir? Now, this was the million-dollar question. Sir, where are you? I'm like, I'm on the side of the road. I got to come get me. Where are you? And I start thinking, yeah, I couldn't remember if I'd left Calvert. I was like, man, was that 5 minutes ago I went through there, or was it 5 minutes ago? I don't have any idea. Am I almost to Marlin? Did I pass Marlin? I'm near Marlin, I think. So like, well, we think we know where you are. So I go out. They can't find me anywhere. They call me an hour later. I'm just hunkered down in the weeds out here. The coyotes are howling. I'm hearing stuff rustling around in the brush around me. I'm just sitting there with cash in my pocket, ripe for the picking out there in the dark. Well... And so they can't find. They give up. AAA just gives up on me. Sorry, sir. And man, I start thinking, dude, maybe I'll start walking down the road to the next town or something. Then I kind of think, man, it's Friday night. It's late. Yeah, I don't want to be walking up there where the trucks are. You know, and I go, maybe someone will stop. Then you start thinking, well, man, maybe I don't want to be found by some people. I mean, what if some carload of six dudes pull over, you know, and just tell me to get in the trunk? You know what I mean?
Tell you you're pretty.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like,
boy.
Man, maybe I shouldn't be up on the road. I don't know. I just kind of go, man, I'm just going to hunker down here. Well, South had called. You'd called me earlier driving home. And,
yeah, I was at the grocery store with my son when I talked to you. Or when you had just left the gig. You had just left the gig. And you and I were talking on the phone. I was in the grocery store.
Yeah, just some business. You're kind of like, hey, what do you think of this and stuff?
I was, and then... my wife and I were eating a very late dinner that night. We were eating at like 9:30 or something like that. So we get home and we make dinner. And
right in the middle of a nice evening.
Yeah. Well, and here's the kicker of the whole deal is I had played a solo show in College Station the night before.
You'd already driven this terrain.
I got done at 2 in the morning in College Station. Turn around, drove. By the time I got paid and everything, it was probably 2:30.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I get home at almost 6 a.m. on Friday. Don't go to sleep. I'm up all day Friday.
So you're running on just no sleep.
I have the rare Friday night off. My wife and I are enjoying a nice dinner. She's like, "Oh, it's so great! You're going to be home tonight. The kids are so excited."
Oh, now you're running. Oh, gee, here it comes.
And then about right just before 11 o'clock, the phone rings.
Well, here's the let me get to how I'm out there in the grass. The coyotes are circling around me out there. Howling, trucks screaming by, just drunk guys on the road.
Chupacabra just
I'm running out of juice.
On your
and, man, I really started thinking. I go, man, if I'm not going to walk. And plus, I just didn't know if I was the last town, if it was 5 miles back
you're
or
one
10.
Of the few humans who doesn't have GPS on your phone.
No, I've got kind of an old BlackBerry, so I don't have that.
You have the GPS.
And, man, I know my wife's asleep. I don't want to make her scared, you know.
And also kind of 9 months pregnant.
Pregnant, asleep.
With four other kids at that
And I started thinking, I'm just like, man, Who could I call to even come get me? This is starting to get funny.
Who can pull off Operation Get Phil Out of the Weeds?
Get Phil Out of the Weeds. And I start sort of feeling the ground in the dark there. My eyes adjusted a little bit. I couldn't believe how dark it was out there, man. There was no moon, and it was just – you couldn't believe how black it was. And I start thinking, man, I might have to I wonder if I could stay the night out here until there's light. I can just get a little more bearing on which way to go or – wave somebody down, not just be out there walking on the road in the pitch dark, you know. And just all these thoughts across my mind. So I finally go, man, I wonder what Kurt South is doing. Who could maybe bail me out of the situation? So the call comes in. I'm using my last little, you know, bit of phone juice to contact Kurt South, Crowley, Texas, sitting down at a nice dinner with his wife, a fresh night at home. The phone rings. It's a frantic Pritchett down there in the calling you from the hinterlands, from the weeds. He asked me where I was. I didn't even know.
That is
so just embarrassing.
In a decade of knowing you, I have not ever heard you in that state of panic.
Oh, come on.
Over anything. Not when you're taking your wife to the hospital for a child to be
born. That's right.
Now, I mean, if you were just, I don't know where I am. I do not know where I am. How am I supposed to know where I am? I don't see a mile marker. AAA can't even find me. I'm just off the grid, out here in the weeds.
I was off the grid.
Oh, just fill.
Well, you start getting a little bit, I thought I was going to run out of phone juice. And my biggest concern was just my wife was just going to wake up at 7 in the morning, and I was going to be nowhere to be found. She's going to call my phone and get my answer machine. And she was going to be panicked because she thought I was coming home, and I would have no way of – I was just going to be out there asleep in the dirt being nibbled on by some wild animal, you know.
Just a cotton mouth in your pants.
Yeah, I'm just like, what am I doing? So, yeah, dude, I was just like, how did I get in a situation? I felt like such an idiot, but here I am. Here I am. So what do you do? What was your take on the situation?
Well, my immediate thought was your best play in this situation, especially since AAA can't find you, is you got to have someone come pick you up.
Yeah, yeah. Regardless of whether I got to a motel or a gas station,
I still
got to get picked up. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. That's what I started.
So I remember I told you to call the state police.
Yes.
You get her because, you know, the police can find you. So you called the police.
That was a turning point.
And a state trooper picked you up.
Yeah, your deal was, man, once I come out of Waco, where are you? I'm like, well, I'll be on the other side of the road. I just got this old black car. It's barely visible there at night. I mean, I just go, man, will you be able to see me over here?
You're talking about your description of where you were was, I'm in between Waco and Calvert.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a 40-mile stretch of road.
That's right.
In the pitch black. In, you know,
no landmarks
by
visible.
The time I'm getting close to you, it's midnight. I'm like, yeah. Call the state police.
But I was just in survival mode. I was, like, listening for animal sounds, and I heard a train kind of rumbling by nearby. I'm like, I'm near a train track. I'm relaying this to,
you
like,
should have hopped a train.
Yeah.
That would have been
ridden it north. Just help me. Save me. Yeah, so I did. I called. I finally... breakdown. I didn't want to call 911. I never want to scare anybody. I never want to wake anybody up. I never want to alarm anybody. But I finally called 911, and they can locate me on the GPS. They're just like, man, you're right here, one block from the La Quinta. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, so this really nice cop just pulls up in the car. What's going on? I just go, man, I'm an idiot. I broke down here. Can you just give me a lift to the hotel? Where am I? He goes, man, you're right. You're right here in Marlin. Marlin's off the highway. But there's a motel back this way. We can drop you there. So that's where so it's a real nice cop. Thank God for the cops, man. I mean,
absolutely.
Really. They were nice guys. I mean, but who else are you going to call, you know? And they're very polite, you know. The Samaritans giving a courtesy ride to Mr. Pritchett. Just pick me up. I just locked the car. Got my guitar out of there.
So I meet you at the, what was it, motel? The Thunderbird Inn or something?
Yeah, the Budget Inn or something.
It's the Relax Inn.
The Relax Inn.
That's what it was.
Yeah, right there on Highway 6.
So I drive, and I'm probably a good person to call in that situation because I live way south of Fort Worth.
Yeah, it didn't take you that long to get there. That's right.
It took me like right at an hour, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
To get there. So it's not nearly as far of a drive for me as it would be from someone who actually lived in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So I just hop on the interstate, and I'm still getting some panic texts from you on the way. Where are you? How close are you? I'm coming.
How do I fend off a coyote attack? You know, how do I treat a snake bite? Stuff like that. You're like relaying me.
And you realize.
Relaying me information.
It was a turning point in your life.
Yes. For what? What was that?
That you realize you need to be going armed in this world.
I was out there when I thought about walking down the highway. Or walking into some town like Rambo or something, like in the middle of the night you just come strolling into Marlin.
Yeah.
You never know who you're gonna run into first. I mean, you don't know. I mean, a lot of nice people down there. I met a lot of nice people, but you don't know. And that was my first thought, dude.
Well,
I wish I had a pistol in my boot.
Anyone that's awake that time of night, probably.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah. It was after midnight. Everything was closed. I mean, this is further in Marlin. I didn't even get there. But had I known really which way to go, and I said, oh, I'll walk down here into town. Yeah,
you were 10 miles from anywhere.
Yeah, I really
where
was.
Where you were.
That's right.
You were 10 miles from anywhere. You were actually 10 miles south of Riesel.
That's right.
Hometown of Greg Schrader.
Yeah.
The great Greg Schrader. So
Kurt South just tears ass out of Crowley, Texas, leaves his hot dinner just right there on the counter, table.
I finished it.
You finished it?
I got through it. No, we were actually doing the
dishes.
Hold
on, Pritchett. Let me finish my dinner.
We were doing the dishes when you called. And
It was amazing what starts going through your mind, you know. I'm now standing next to my car. And I thought, wait a minute. If someone, one of these trucks nips this car, it's just going to shoot over and hit me. So I got in front of the, like off the back, up road from the vehicle. Then down the embankment. I just wanted to be the safest place possible, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I started thinking, man, wait a minute, where's
Well, of course, your vehicle is black. So
yeah.
So you could not see your vehicle on the road.
No. And I said, man, I need to stay with my car. I'll wait in the car. I'm like, man, I don't want to sit up there on the being missed by drunks, you know, by 6 inches. So, I was just kind of at a distance. And I said, and if the big carload of fun seekers just kind of pulls over and parks behind my car, and they decide they want to get out and maybe see what's inside the vehicle. I don't want to be sitting there. I just want to be observing from a distance, as I call my insurance agent. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of back at a distance, just with a bird's eye view of the scene. What happens? Waiting on pins and needles. Well, here in our next segment, we're going to get to a little more of how that all played out. Phil's adventure on the road. What happens to you out there, Phil? Let me tell you what, man. 9 times out of 10... You drive there, you drive back. Oh, these are the fun things that they change you. You start thinking, man, I need GPS. I need a flashlight. I need food. I need a pistol. More on the Great South Rescue of Phil in our next segment. Stay tuned.
And though the map doesn't show it, deep down I know it. Borders are closing in. This place got smaller when we filled it up with our memories. My leaving's the only way I have a chance to.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Did you know P2 and the full band will play for you anywhere? Just email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Phil, I live in Odessa. We're having a big party. What'll it take, man? What'll it take? I'll get right back to you instantly. We'll just show up at the PA, man, and rock it. The private party, man. We live for it. Me, Stu, and Blue will come to your house and play. Also, download those Pritchett records. They're just $4 a piece. P2Tunes.com. Just click and download. We're recounting the adventurous events of Pritchett. Breaking down in the old Jeep on the way back from College Station a couple weeks ago. It's the middle of the night. I got no one to call. AAA can't find me. They can't locate me on a map. They get no reading. I go, can you see my signal? Can you see my? Can you find out where I am? No. I call Kurt South. Oh, thank
I'm always
goodness.
Up for an adventure.
You know, calling
always.
You and calling the cops is kind of the same thing. Basically, some guy's going to show up, you know, armed, with a consoling presence, someone who doesn't sleep, out there, a man of the night, pistol in his boot, ready for anything, and a light on your car.
Yeah.
You know, like a twirling light. I don't think you brought the twirling light, but...
Just had a spotlight, just sweeping the sides of the road.
That's right.
Putting it up into the sky to see if the vultures were circling over your carcass.
So where we left me in the last segment there, I was scurrying through the weeds, living on a diet of grain and field mice. And then, no GPS. All I've got is my compass, my sextant, you know, trying to find my way home. No luck. So finally I call the cops. God bless the cops. They show up and this nice guy gives me a lift to the budget inn. I go in there and talk to these old ladies in there. We have a good talk. I'm there with my guitar and all my stuff. Just a stranded road warrior out there. Counting the cockroaches in the lobby. Well, I was there for about maybe, I don't know, 45 minutes maybe, 30
yeah,
minutes
you're there
or
about
so.
30, 45
so
minutes.
So what are your thoughts driving down here? Well, we're now out of contact. I think my phone's been totally dead. I think I plugged it in and charged it a little bit once I got in the lobby.
Yeah, once you got in the hotel, I think you charged it up. But once I found out that the cop had taken you to the motel, I wasn't worried. I'm like, well, at least there's a place I know I can go.
You knew you weren't just going to show up and just find my smash guitar and like one of my boots and just wonder what happened.
Yeah, that crossed my mind. am I going to show up? And
how long
just,
can Phil last out here?
Well, it's just
in rural Texas.
It's a test of survival.
It is. It really is, man.
Well, that's another. We brought up the firearm. Are you armed?
Yes.
And the main reason to have it,
right,
is simply it makes you feel better. If you have some sort of weapon, whether it be a spear.
Yeah.
A Chinese throwing star.
A pocket knife, yeah.
Or a .38 revolver.
Right.
It gives you some level of comfort in bad situations.
That's right.
And if you're well-heeled, you just things don't scare you quite as much. They That's at right. least help you stay calm.
Right.
A coyote comes up and tries to gnaw my leg off, I can shoot him.
Yeah, that's right.
You
that's
know?
Right.
If a ninja tries to attack me, I have this throwing star.
That's right.
So...
Words to live by.
Words to live by.
Well, I can't imagine my relief. At this stage, I got into the Relax Inn, and I asked for the name of a good tow truck driver. And they referred me to Don, the local guy. Small town, Marlin. Nice people. Everybody knows everybody. So I get on the phone with Don. It's the middle of the night. I'm like, well, I don't want to call him in the middle of the night. Oh, he'll always show up. Don's good as gold. So I called Don, and he's turning up. He answers, hello. And I'm like, hey, Don, this is broken down right up here. And by this time, I knew where I was. They're like, oh, you're just out of town up here, you know, X amount of miles on the right. So I could tell Don exactly where the car was. Yeah, so I just told Don. He swings by the Relax Inn. I said, man, it's up here on the road. And I had my bearings now. I knew where I was in relation to the town, of course. So, yeah, Don goes up there. Of course, Don wants $50 cash to tow the car. He said, what do you want me to tow it? I'm like, man, I need a reputable mechanic. And he said, well, this guy's too expensive, and this guy. He goes, man, I'm taking it to Garcia Auto on the south side of town. I'm like, well, you know, I trust your word, Don. Take him in his word. Nice gentleman. Thank you, Don, for helping me out. Of course, I've only got $30 or something like that. Bar paid me with a check. I really didn't have the cash. So I give Don $30. I said, man,
attention bar owners, that's a beating.
It is a beating.
Have cash on hand. The IRS can track checks.
So Kurt South shows up at the Relax Inn. I've just sent Don over there to tow the vehicle. So we get back on the highway. We see Don up there. I immediately borrow $20 from Kurt South.
Yeah, I remember you pointed my wallet. You go, hey, I'm going to need some of that.
What? I just peel off a 20 off your big old stack of bills. And Don's under my car, just on the truck's missing us by 6 inches. Don, he comes out from underneath. Hey, I give him another $20. I just want to be square with Don before I left town. He's towing off my car, you know? So me and Don are all square. The truck is up on his, my Jeep is towed up there. And I'm just like, man, just get me home and I'll just figure it out, you know, when I get home. So that's what happened. Kurt and I laughed all the way home. At least I laughed a little bit. I don't know.
Stopped at the check stop on the way back.
Yep, got some kolaches.
I guess,
stop there whether you need to or not, you know, yeah. West Texas. That's right.
I guess, I dropped you off at your house, what, 3:30?
About 3:30, yeah.
Yeah.
I just stagger in, fall asleep on the kitchen table or something with my kolaches. And
your face just in the box.
Yeah, just what a long night. Oh, what a horrible night. Then the other problem was getting it picked up. You know, I was down there, and Garcia is a man who knows his trade well, but doesn't have an answer machine, doesn't take credit cards. You know, he kind of, I said, is it ready? He goes, oh, yeah. You know, I was like, wow, is it ready to go? He goes, man, new alternator, new battery, we're all set. You know, $350 or what, $300. I was like, oh, God. So I'm just like, well, do you take a debit card? You know, no. So I had to. So once again, here I come, just cash in pocket, heading down. Couldn't get anybody to take. It was hard to get somebody to drive me down there. Finally, just turned old dad, man. He comes over here and works. He lives in Dallas, and Phil Pritchett Sr., the great Phil Pritchett Sr., works in Fort Worth. I should go, Dad, man, what day next week can you take me down there? He does some work down there also, and down south. So yeah, he just gave me a lift down there. Found Garcia, cranked it right up, and.
Better than new.
Yeah, better than new. Just drove it back. But, man, what an event. It did. I think it did kind of change me a little bit, though. You know, I mean, because I've broken down. The van's broken down, God, over the years. I mean, at least once a year, man, you're going to get stuck for something.
Yeah, at least.
Know, tire, at least, or an alternator, belt, something. Something's going to go out.
It's going to happen.
And we rent cars. But in retrospect, it's always been during the day. My Suburban broke down on the way back from College Station to Austin one time, like late 90s, and we were in a ditch. We couldn't get out of this ditch on the side of the road we'd pulled off into to fix a flat. So we had AAA on the way, and that was the middle of the night. But I had the band with me. I know there's a bunch of us. You know, we're all just laughing and BSing around. But by myself on the road in the middle of the night, I don't know if that's ever happened. Not a good feeling, Sal.
No, it's a bad feeling. That's why I hate the... You know, a lot of gigs I do, like you do, if you drive back the night of.
Yeah.
Because, man, it's a...
You are kind of hanging it in the balance. And, man, with me having kids and just stuff, I if I get done at like 9 o'clock, I'm just like, hell, man, I'll be in 3 hours, I'll be home at midnight. Well, that's the big deal. And it does save you money in hotels and hanging around and eating food and stuff. So I'm just kind of like, you know, I don't want to just be hanging around. You do drive home, but, yeah, you do put yourself in a different deal.
Yeah.
You're driving late at night.
It's a bad decision, I think, sometimes. But, I don't know, I almost always do it now, unless I'm more than 3 or 4 hours away. But
packing heat?
I'm always armed with something.
Buck knife, switchblade.
I am armed right now.
With what, I'm scared to ask?
I just have a knife right now.
A knife.
I have a blackjack in the vehicle right now.
All right.
And
ready to roll.
A few
roll.
Other things that aren't
you ever broken down? You ever gotten stuck anywhere like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like where? Do you have any...
Man, back at New Year's Eve.
Yeah?
I was in driving cross-country with my family. We were driving back from Virginia.
Yeah. And, this past New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And New
we
York.
Had one of our right rear tire just disintegrated. And it was snowing and sleeting.
Oh,
we were in
man.
The.
Where were you? What state were you in?
We were right at the Virginia-Tennessee line. We were 16 miles east or northeast of Bristol, Tennessee, which Bristol is half in Virginia, half in Tennessee. New Year's Eve, it's 4:30 in the afternoon. The tire just explodes. And we go sliding. We slid for like 100 yards on the interstate because it's icy.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't have
been driving anyway. No traction. Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, talk about the middle of nowhere. Be in the heart of Appalachia. I mean, middle of nowhere. My wife's just freaking out.
You need a machine gun there.
My son thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
We have at the time, the baby was 3 months old, 4 months old.
Golly. Out there in a blizzard. And is it coming down or is it already just laying on the ground?
Both.
Yeah.
There's
over
a foot of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And luggage just packed in the back of the vehicle. So in order to even get to my spare... I was going to have to completely unload the car. Everything was going to get wet. I mean, it was going to be ridiculous. So I just called AAA, said, come get us. Just going to have somebody put a whole new tire on.
Yeah.
It's too big of a beating to
Yeah, right, right.
So AAA sends a guy out to us. We're like, well, we need to find you a double cab.
Right.
Tow truck, because you're going to take the kids. We have to put the car seats in there. Like, well, we can't find one. So keep trying. So finally, they find a guy with a double cab who he told me when he got there. He said, man, the only reason I agreed to come pick you up is because I heard you had kids with you. If it had just been you and your wife, you'd been on your own, because I'm going to the Golden Corral tonight with my kids to celebrate.
Oh, BS.
No, swear. He was excited because he's taking his kids to the Golden Corral
for New Year's Eve. Yeah, yeah.
But our next problem was, is what place is open on New Year's Eve?
Yep. God, it always happens. All my breakdowns.
It's 6 o'clock.
All my breakdowns have been like, you know, late Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. You know, July 3rd at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, man. I remember a couple of times just going, man, what's going to be open tomorrow? Because there's always, we're always playing gigs on holidays and stuff, you know.
Well, and we kept calling tire places.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, no, we're not going to be open by the time you get here. We're closed down. And I had a hotel reservation in Knoxville, which we're like an hour and a half away from still.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the Walmart in Bristol, Tennessee, their tire department is open until 8 o'clock that night.
There you go.
So we get like a 16-mile tow, just charging by the mile.
20 bucks a mile or
something. I don't even want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, while we're there at the Walmart, I was like, man, just put two new tires on.
Mm-hmm.
That one looks a little iffy.
Just put two
on.
That's right.
I don't even want to go through this again. So we were at the Walmart to buy. I think by the time we paid and got out of there, it was like 8:30, 8:45.
Mm-hmm.
Drove on to Knoxville. Celebrated New Year's Eve sitting in the hotel room with a pizza or something. Watching Dora the Explorer.
As you have so many times before.
Yes.
Man, we broke down driving to Kansas. The last big one was Red Van driving to go play with Kreger in Manhattan. And getting up. We were in Oklahoma somewhere, and a van blows a fuel pump. Goes out. Van won't go. Call tow truck. And this tow guy comes, and man, he's got like this truck that can tow a car. It can tow like four cars. It's kind of like a car carrier.
Oh, yeah.
And he's already got like two cars on the lower part and a small cab. And I've got Stu and Blue with me. And so so this is the first gig I thought I might miss because of, like, man, this is a long way to Manhattan. We're just opening for Kreger. I don't know, man. But sure enough, I just never missed one to this day. And, so I called Enterprise. Yeah, man, we can get you into a, you know,
subcompact,
with one guitar. I called Kreger's Manny and all those Kreger guys. Hey, man, can we use your amp and your drum? Oh, yeah, man, no problem. So all we had to do was just get there and do it. So we kind of had it worked out, even on the side of the road. And dude, this old boy shows up and he just pulls this red van, just defies gravity, just this winch, just winches this.
And, straight up.
And the van is just up, I mean, like higher than an 18-wheeler in the air, and there's a ladder going up there, and so we're standing around looking, the three of us. He just kind of, the guy just goes, well, who's riding with me? And I'm just like, oh, and the, I said, man, we all, he's, well, I can only take one. So I just look at Stu and Blue, I just go, man, I said, they just ride. He goes, man, they just ride in the van. And dude, Stu and Blue just eyes bulging, just, and so they just climb this ladder, just like, you know, 20 feet in the air, and they get into the van on the back of this thing, just teetering up there in the breeze.
That is unreal.
Dude, and so I'm riding shotgun, and the next thing he does, he has to turn around. He just goes over the grass medium, you know, just jostling. They're up there, and we drive to the, you know, to drop the van and get the Enterprise deal. And dude, they came out of that van, those two guys, and they both just laid face down on the pavement, just kissed the ground, just tears in their eye. I was like, what? They're like, dude, that was the most horrifying thing. Just the action of being that high in the air on an interstate.
I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, he goes, they both just said, man, I called my mother and just said, I love you. I'm sorry. Just called their family, called their girlfriends, just to let them know where they were. the last minutes. But we all made it. We all got into a compact, you know. Stu just stuffed into the back seat, you know.
Hey, man, can I get some AC back here? It's hot.
But that's how it is, man. You know, some of these guys out there, you guys in bands out there, hey, when everything goes wrong, I mean everything, do you still play the gig? Well, I couldn't play the gig. Phil said the band broke down. No, do you still go play the gig somehow? And it's not easy, man.
No.
You got to take the Greyhound, hitch a ride, get a friend, rent a car, run. There's all kinds of, I've gotten to the gig, usually. I've got sort of an obsessive thing about, man, I got to make it. I can't just not show up, you know. Anyway. Oh, tragedy. You're getting some great breakdown talk there. Great breakdown talk.
The great Pritchett Rescue of 2010.
Well, coming up here in our final segment, The Vault, we cover all sorts of things these days, man. All things music, anything like that. Oh, everybody's seen Crazy Heart. Jeff Bridges won the big Oscar for it. Our buddy Ryan Bingham had songs in there and had a role in it as well. I watched it the other night. We're going to talk about Crazy Heart and music in general, man, and who this guy was, the character Jeff Bridges. Bad Blake talking about Crazy Heart in the Vault next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, where we record music. It's what we do. Bring those songs in, folks, even if they're not even finished up. Say, Phil, give me a few dates on the calendar. I'm coming up. I'm making a record. We'll get Kurt South. Hey, man, you know what Kurt South costs to come play rhythm guitar on a few of your tracks? What would that be, South? A turkey sandwich and $10? What is
play
it?
Play rhythm guitar on track.
Yeah, just I give you the chart. You come in here and play G, C, and D in perfect time with Stu. What's that going to run me? What's that going to set me back? Union scale?
$500 a song.
$500 a song. What a bargain. What a bargain.
Give me a call. I'll be glad to do it.
Is the only gig you played with me like that the Texas Stadium gig? If I ever hired you to play in the band, I did that time. I was trying to think if there's another one.
You
I know
did
you got on stage and just played and jammed with us a bunch of times.
I think that's
times.
The only, yeah.
Where I called you and said, man, I got this gig.
Yeah.
Show up and do it. Yeah. That was fun. We played I got to play. You've seen maybe seen the pictures on the internet of the full band throwing the ball around the field. The old Texas Stadium. R.I.P. Rest in peace, Texas Stadium. They tore it down. A house of champions, I always say. Tore it down. But Kurt South played that gig. And to get Kurt South to play on your record, $500 a song. Although I'm sure I can talk him down off of that. You might be surprised.
Discounts are offered.
That's right. But we'll make it fun and affordable, man. So give me a call. 817-733-5256. Come record at Trinidad. Well, man, I had not seen. Gosh, I got kids now. I don't go to movies. I don't do a damn thing in that regard. I just read about it, whatever. But finally did the old Netflix deal. Jeff Bridges, Crazy Heart. Been looking forward to seeing it. You know, gotten really good reviews. I had seen several very lukewarm reviews on it. It's kind of slow, and you know, it's kind of slow. And I can see that from anyone's perspective. But I think just what was so great about it was Bridges, how he played this guy. It was just like, I mean, he had it just nailed, man.
Just the drunken barroom singer?
Just, man, I've just been around those guys. I mean, and you have,
name
too.
Names. Let's.
Oh, well, you know, the late, great Rusty Weir. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's almost like, when they talked about his career and stuff, it's almost a carbon imprint of that. Drinking that whiskey, man, just playing in the Saxon pub for 40 folks who remember him. He had that song on the, what was it? Don't Make You Want to Dance, man. Oh, come on. His song's been good to him. But, you know, my band opened for Weir a few times at the Saxon. He's just drinking tequila. And, man, that's just how he was, man. But, you know, that hit was years ago. And he, Weir also, as Jeff Bridges' character Bad Blake had done, had mentored guys, you know, brought guys up. And it left me with a... you know, just a real bittersweet feeling watching that. You know, gosh, guys like Chris Wall, great songwriter in Austin, yeah. Who's, you know, again, man, he wrote this song for Jerry Jeff, Confederate Railroad, cut, you know, Trashy Women, you know, and he did, and you get to meet Chris Wall, wow, you know, and you get around him, and you know, and he's
dude loves to drink.
Well, Wall lived by himself. You know, he wasn't married. Same kind of deal. He just kind of went out and you know, he played some gigs, but canceled some gigs. He struggled with things, all kinds of stuff, man. I mean, even like Ray Wiley Hubbard. I know he's kind of cleaned up and whatever now, but. That's the kind of character. Billy Joe Shaver. I mean, there's a lot of those guys in Texas, man. And in this movie, Bridges is a Texas guy. Lives in Houston in some little house down there. He plays gigs, drives around in a 78 Suburban, which I thought was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls up at his gigs in a 78 Suburban and plays with a pickup band every night. You know, just some band that knows his charts or knows his, has his greatest hit CD or whatever. And there's still some glory in what he does. There's still people that come to the gigs. You know, he makes a living doing it. Everybody's kind of, people recognize him in the liquor store or restaurant. Hey, Bad Bob, a great fan, Bad Blake, you know. And you see these other guys, you know. At various stages of Bad. Now, I'm not trying to suggest these other guys I mentioned are just like Bad Blake or they're drunks or something like that. But, you know, they certainly have had their struggles with, you know, all kinds of... God, drinking it.
Well,
relationships,
it's not,
you know.
It's not singling out any one guy.
No, look, right. I'm not comparing anyone.
If you do, 99.9 of the guys who do music at some point struggle with that in some way.
Yeah.
There's very little glory in it for the most part.
That's right.
And one thing the movie addresses is there's the young up-and-coming guy who's making a lot of money and is a big star.
But Colin Farrell, he's Tommy Sweet.
Yeah.
Who was a, you know... Bad Blake had mentored him and brought him up a little bit. Maybe cut, you know, kind of cut some of his songs and stuff like that.
Well, and you know, and that guy says, "Man, the real deal is Bad Blake." You know,
that's
he's
right.
My hero.
Yeah.
Well, man, that's how a lot of these young guys are doing really well. They feel about these old guys.
Yeah, Rusty Weir.
The legends.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But I don't know if people realize what being that legend entails. It usually means you're broke. You've probably been through a couple wives.
Yeah, you're alone.
I think you drink a lot. It is a bittersweet thing because there is some glory in him. He's still out there playing. Some people do still care.
Sure.
But man, it's a trade off, and
it's
the truth too. It is the absolute truth.
No question. And
is hard to last doing the music thing. You're a vampire. You come out at night. And you're in and around drugs and alcohol constantly.
Women hitting, you know, and trying to pick you up at the shows.
Very few men do not fall prey to the bad things.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah. And I think the ones that do okay are the ones who eventually, at some point, do get married and stay married. And have a couple kids. You don't have something else.
I don't even think it's that. I disagree.
You don't think it's that?
I think a lot of them wind up getting married and having kids, but that just eventually leads to them being divorced with kids they never see. I think.
Well, that does.
The difference, guys. You're one in a million.
Yeah.
And I put myself in that category.
Sure.
Too. But I mean, I struggled with all the bad stuff.
Right.
For years.
You're the bad Blake. You were bad Blake at like age 22.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
A drunken legend.
A legend in his mid-20s.
You had 16-year-olds going, man, Sal, that guy's the real deal. There he is under the pool table with his own vomit. There he was over there.
I think either you're just the old guy and you're kind of the underground legend.
Right.
Or you're the young guy and you make it fairly big and you make enough money that people don't realize you have it that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that getting married and having kids slows any of them down. Well, there's a few of them that does,
it's
maybe.
It's the only thing that can keep you alive and doing good. I mean... Jeff Walker's been married to Susan Walker how long, you know, and I'm sure they've had their ups and downs, but they're still married. And she keeps him going. And that doesn't mean he maybe doesn't have his wild nights or something like that. But by all accounts, everyone just goes, oh, man, he'd have been dead years ago.
Yeah, that is true.
If he hadn't run across her.
But how many of them never stay married?
Find someone like that.
Find someone and never stay married.
Very rare.
I mean, that's the saddest part about the music business.
Yeah.
Is the personal carnage that is out there in the gutters.
Well, I think it is the way you do become a bad Blake is, yeah, your third wife leaves you, or you split up, and you're just alone. And that's where the drinking and still playing lots of gigs really takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of those guys all of a sudden. You're alone, and you're an alcoholic, and it's just... And man, Bridges just... I mean, he just portrayed it. You just really believed. I know it's the biggest cliche in the world, but you just believed he was that guy. The way he talked about music, even the way he kind of played guitar and acted on stage, it came across as very, very, very real.
Did he study some Texas songwriters in order to do that role?
I'm sure he did. Well, you know, Robert Duvall, I think, was a producer or co-producer,
and
he's in the movie. He's his buddy.
When Duvall's close with Billy Joe Shaver.
And Shaver gets referenced in the movie.
Yeah, as sings Live Forever.
Yeah, he goes, I'm going to live forever. He's like that song, that Billy Joe Shaver song. And just,
I'm going to live forever. I'm going to cross that river.
Yeah, I'm going to live tomorrow now, you see. So, man, it was just chilling, man, but it was endearing, and it was I'd never seen it that accurately portrayed before.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, from a musician's standpoint, and just very, very real.
Well, I think it's important for people who are just music fans to see that movie to understand what this guy you really like. There's a greater than zero chance that he's either going through that right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Or he's been through that because I'm not gonna name any names, but this week I was on a well-known musician's website.
Yeah.
Someone who I know for a fact struggles mightily with stuff.
Yeah,
who's extremely...
Sure.
But you look on the website, it's just pictures of him with, you know, kids and smiling, everybody's laughing, you know, everything's great.
Yeah.
Like, man, I know that...
That's not...
When the lights
story.
On the stage go off and he goes home, he's alone... He is hammered. He's coked up.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that people realize what these guys go through in order to just be who they are.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, you make a decision. Is it worth it or is it not? And, you know, I still go through that. I'm like, man, is all this worth it?
Because, yeah, that's right.
You know, we talk about, man, there's so much freedom involved. It's great. You know, you're at home during the day. You kind of get to do what you want. But, man, the flip side is your life is the total opposite of everyone else's normal life.
Yeah.
At least I feel mine is, you know. And it's for every benefit that it has, there's a downside, and it's a pretty dark downside. It can be.
It is, man.
And there's a lot about it that I genuinely dislike.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what really hit me, that I don't know if it hit everyone else is that it's just like you said, that's just almost the only way that road leads. If you're just, man, if you get into it at age 21, you love the women and the whiskey and the nightlife and the fun and the glory of the whole thing, and that's what you like about it, that's what you're going to end up with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the story of this one songwriter, Bad Blake. And in this story, the singer is actually an alcoholic and just no, man, that's just how it, that's just where it all ends up.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of what, it's just like you say, that that's just what all those guys are like.
Hey, I'll say this. I remember when I first, my parents were not happy when I chose this as a career path.
Yeah.
And I remember them just saying, hey, look, that lifestyle, that whole thing, it's rare it keeps you out of the
gutter. It is what it is. Yeah.
And right. And I thought they were wrong the whole time.
Right.
And you know what? Recently, I've come to the conclusion that they're right.
Yeah.
If my son came to me, you know, when he was grown up,
yeah,
and just said, hey, this is what I'm going to start doing, I would be...
It's not what you think, Dad.
I would be scared. That's just what I thought. Well, it's not what you think, man. It's not all... But you think about it. Look, the only places you can play if you're guys like us,
yeah,
are bars.
That's it.
And that, hey, we all drink and go to bars and have fun.
Sure.
Them, but a lot of times not nice bars.
Right.
And even some of these big legendary venues you hear about,
mm-hmm,
they are crappy bars.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That's right.
And that's as good as it gets for you. And man, my parents were right. And
yeah.
I would not feel comfortable with one of my children saying, hey, I want to do what you did.
Yeah.
I barely have made it out by the skin of my teeth. Barely.
It's a life risking venture, man. And it is kind of the, if you just stay in it too long, or if you're in it for, man, I'm a lifer, I'm a lifer, then that's the way it ends up. I rack my brain to find a healthy, sober, real deal country songwriter, singer type guy who is a millionaire and just does everything the right way, who's 60 years old. I know there's exceptions, but if you find me one, he probably hadn't toured in 5 years. He probably sobered up a long time ago. He's got a good woman with him. He's maybe got other business interests. You know what I mean? He maybe produces more now. You know what I'm
he's
saying?
He's not going around playing bars.
No,
200
he's not.
Nights
no,
out of
no,
that,
hell no.
That's the difference. If you're, you know, a guy like Lyle Lovett, probably hadn't set foot in a real bar.
He probably produces movies, and he just has probably other interests.
Well, he makes $200,000 a night.
That's right.
So
that's
he
right.
doesn't have to play that many gigs. And
right.
the gigs he does play aren't at the Firehouse Saloon in
right.
Houston.
That's right.
He plays Bass Hall, or he plays you know, these big auditoriums and theaters. That's a different scene, a different deal.
Right.
It's a completely different atmosphere.
We're talking about the guys at the clubs, man.
They're selling out Dos Amigos in Odessa. Or
yeah,
something.
Right, right, right.
And
yeah.
Hey, there's great money in that.
Sure,
that's a huge
deal.
You
make a living,
but
yeah.
You're just in. There's just Jägermeister machines.
That's
everywhere.
Right.
If there's
man.
A Jägermeister machine in the place,
yeah.
then it's probably bad for your soul.
And an underage. It's probably an underage drinking establishment.
But you know, you look at guys. You know, one of my heroes, John Hyatt.
Yeah.
I'd give anything to be John Hyatt.
Sure.
But you look at his life.
Yeah.
He's went through bad, bad cocaine and alcohol addiction. Got sober back in the mid '80s.
Mm-hmm.
His first wife committed suicide.
Oh yeah.
When their his first child, right after the first child was born, you know, and it was in part in due to his substance abuse, and she was unhappy, and man, and he's had just tragedy after tragedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, I don't think I'd want to trade places with him. I mean,
right?
You know,
and man, it's
there's
kind of
lots
that,
of stories. You know, Billy Joe Shaver's son Eddie died of a heroin overdose in a motel room in Waco.
Yeah.
And
his wife, you know, was
and
sick
even recently, and just, you know, though you know, he was the charges were dropped, but you know, Billy Joe shot a dude in the face,
involved
you know?
In an incident, yeah.
You know, it's a lifestyle that is not conducive to health and financial stability and good relationships.
Yeah,
it just is not.
It
is
no
not conducive to anything.
And like I say, if you do find a guy and go, what about this guy? He's probably not playing bars every night. You go, man, he had a few hits. He cashed out. I think of a guy like Michael Martin Murphy. You hear about him that, man, after he kind of had his big thing in the 70s, you know, Wildfire, and had some big records. They go, man, the story was kind of like, man, he kind of cashed out. And I was like, what do you mean? They go, man, he paid off his debt, moved to Taos, New Mexico, bought a ranch with his wife, and just, man, he's never come back. He just kind of... Now he'll come back in town and he'll play at Bass Hall.
He still does shows.
He does shows, but he's got somewhere to go after the show. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice house. He's got a nice wife to go home to. I think he does. I think he's still married. I'm pretty sure. I mean, but you know what? If you heard he got divorced and kind of went broke, he's probably showing up at the White Elephant every month.
Right. Getting divorced, the divorce usually precedes you going broke.
Right.
Because then, you know, well, now we're getting a divorce, and I've got to pay for her house, and now I've got to find a place to stay. I mean, we both know guys, musicians who gotten divorced, and the dude's just living on somebody's couch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're like, why is he got to give $2,000 a month in child support. He's got to pay for his wife's house and do this and do that.
Yep.
You know, so it's a... It's a tough hustle.
It is a tough hustle.
Don't think it isn't. My parents were right to the letter.
Well, hope Mr. and Mrs. South hears that. Kurt's parents were right. They'll be glad to hear you say that,
yes,
South.
Yes, they would be.
Well, that is all the time we have for our show this week. Oh, it's been a pleasure here with Kurt South coming in. The other half of the didactic duo here, espousing his wisdom on divorce, breakdowns, and
drugs, all
kinds of other stuff. Talking about Bad Blake, Crazy Heart, Jeff Bridges, good job, man. Great stuff. Our old friend Bingham in there, good song. God, what a great song, man. That Bingham stuff is great, dude. I kind of know him, so I want to listen to his stuff and kind of go, yeah, it's not that good. And, dude, so the stuff I hear of him, I'm just like, man, that's good stuff. I enjoy it.
He deserves it.
Well, join us next week, man. Join us next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening this week, folks. PhilPritchett.com for all your music needs. Download those records for $4 a piece. Call me to record at Trinidad or to book the band. 817-733-5256. For Kurt South, this is P2, Phil Pritchett, signing off. We'll see you next week.
You rolled in sevens with nothing to lose. This ain't no place for the weary kind. You called all your shots, shooting a ball at the corner truck stop. Somehow this don't feel like home anymore. And this ain't no place for the weary kind. This ain't no place to lose your mind. This ain't no place to fall behind. Pick up your crazy heart and give it one more try. Love us. damn far from your fingertips. You are the man that ruined the world. Your heart's on the loose. You rolled in sevens with nothing to lose. This ain't no place